Once again, good morning, and welcome to 2023. 2022 is gone, literally. We'll never see it again. The good news is, though, that all of us had the same 31.5 million seconds to live in the past year. We spent approximately 2,737 hours sleeping, 1,018 hours eating, although given the consumption I did last week, it might be a bit more than that, and about 208 hours talking. There again, the mileage will vary based on personality. For those of you who wear contacts, you spend about, according to my calculation, about 9 hours either putting them in or taking them out. We lived a year's worth of moments that, whether or not we're aware of it, characterize us. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. The thing is, though, we live congruently with our values, and we did so in 2022. And there's a really good chance that in 2023, we'll live congruently once again with our values. Now, before I go further, I do want to tell you a story about my neighbor, little Bobby. He's 4 years old, stands about yay tall, has a head full of surfer blonde hair, still in the freshness of childhood innocence and just cute as a button. The Lord knows that if I had a son that cute, I'd probably struggle with pride. But anyway, he's in this here stage of noticing things in people and also asking a bunch of questions. And so two things that I heard him say a lot last summer was, hi, and it wasn't just once, it's like, hi, 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 and he has this kind of this little disjointed wave. And he doesn't, you have to acknowledge him, he's persistent in that way. The second thing that I heard him say a lot was, what are you doing? And this question is kind of typical, I think, of toddlers his age, and there again, he didn't tire of asking that question. I could have answered it 2 minutes previously on my way from my house out to the garage, and then when I'm returning from the garage, coming back to the house, he's asking that same question. What are you doing? So one time earlier this year, summer, I burst out of my back door like I'm wont to do, because why walk slowly? And I hear, hi. And so looking over, I see little Bobby standing there. And he's out in the backyard playing with their two new German Shepherd puppies that they got this past summer. So I said, hi, Bobby, walk over to the fence, and did my best attempt at engaging him in four-year-old level conversation. And he asked, what are you doing? I forget what it was that I was engaged in, but I always make a point to tell him and maybe show him. And suddenly he holds up something in his hands, and he said, these are my smokes. Now, I'd seen that pack of cigarettes in his hands when I walked over to him, but I didn't mention it. I thought maybe if I don't say anything, it just kind of blow over. He said, these are my smokes. Oh, really? I didn't quite know how else to take the conversation. And my brain's in there trying to think, what's the next combat? Can I say, well, here, can I have those and, you know, toss them in the trash or whatever? His mom calls him from around the corner of the shop, and I said, hey, Bobby, your mom's calling you. Okay, and he trots off. I had to think about that conversation, and there's a number of elements that I find sobering. The first is, he's a young child, playing unsupervised with a pack of cigarettes. Now, he has easy access to that because both of his parents are nicotine addicted. The second sobering thing that I thought about was that, as a child, he is more than twice as likely to be nicotine addicted by the age of 21, because both of his parents are as well. So as I was thinking about this encounter, the question came to me, what in my life do I consider normal that is detrimental? What is the thing that I'm faithful to, even if it harms me? Or, if I put it in little Bobby lingo, I'd ask the question, what are you doing? Paul, in writing to Timothy, marks out four characteristics of the Christian. And I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul notes that the Christian is characterized by what he or she does, namely, what they flee from, what they follow after, what they fight for, and what they're faithful to. I want to break this down a little bit this morning. We'll look at all four of these. I'll give some verses and then maybe get some feedback from you all as well. In thinking about what the Christian should flee or what the Christian flees from, in the previous verses, Paul gives a few things that the Christian should flee from. One is the desire to be rich. The love of money and greed are all mentioned. Additionally, in Scripture, we have in Psalm 1:1, the righteous walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. They're not joined to. They're away from that. Proverbs 4:14 and 15, do not enter the path of the wicked. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away and pass on. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts. Now, what do you have? What else should the Christian, or what are some things a Christian should flee from? Anger. Mm-hmm. Okay, so pay attention later. You'll find it. And I'm sure there's more. Secondly, what should the Christian follow after? Well, in the verses we have here in verse 11, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, or meekness. Again, going back to Psalm 1 in verse 2, the psalmist writes, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight means it takes interest in or it finds joy in. 2 Timothy 2:22, going on in that verse, says, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Also in Romans 14:19, Paul writes, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Again, a few verses here talking about what the Christian should follow after. What do you have, or what would you add to that?
See what God is doing.
Wait. Mm-hmm. 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 Follow after that continual pursuit to know more. Those are good. Thirdly, what should the Christian fight for? Paul writes here of a fleeing from, a following after, but there's also he says in verse 12, fight the good fight. In Matthew 6, verse 20, Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And it's a good thing to remember to fight for our hearts. Micah 6:8, he has shown, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What would you add to that list? What are some things we should be fighting for? To know the wisdom of God. Mm-hmm.
The success of others. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, so we fight against
Mm-hmm. Fighting against spiritual powers. And lastly, Paul here says, lay hold on eternal life. And another way of saying that is being faithful to something. So what should the Christian be faithful to? Well, Paul writes, lay hold on eternal life. Proverbs 7, verses 1 and 2 says, keep my words and treasure my commands with you. Keep my commands and live. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Revelations 2, verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This was spoken to the church at Smyrna. In your minds, what should the Christian be characterized in being faithful to something?
Reaching out.
Reaching out. Mm-hmm. Faithful in that work.
Faithful in our allegiance to God, the Lord, and His kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Faithful to God's kingdom. Those are all good. And I think it's a good reminder occasionally and to think about and to be intentional about what we want to be known as or known by. First of the year is always a great, always kind of brings up those thoughts, that of resolutions and otherwise. And for some, the new year, it's a source of joyous expectation. You're excited to see what the year brings. Maybe for others, there's a lot in 2022 that you have fond memories of, and maybe a little bit sad to see it go. But whether we make resolutions or not, it's good to think about little Bobby's question. What are you doing? And as it applies to our Christian life, to think about that doing and what we're fleeing from, what we're following after, deciding what we'll fight for, and to what or whom has our allegiance? Who are we faithful to? I would like to close with the song, Lord, Make Us Instruments of Peace. And we'll play a recording from Millikan University Choir. It's a choral arrangement. I find it very well done. And I hope that as we think about what you're doing, as we think about what we should be known for, I think this song contains a lot of language that speaks to those four elements we looked at this morning. It's about 4 minutes long. I think we'll just take some of that time here and play it and enter into worship that way as well. Go ahead, Aaron.
Lord, make us instruments.
Father, you call us into faith that is an active faith, one that follows the example of Christ. We stand on the threshold of another year, and we say it's our desire to follow you in whatever way that looks like. Help us to be active in that faith, to be your instruments of peace, to be Jesus to the people we meet in this year. Go with us in that endeavor, we pray. Amen.